You need to come to church with a purpose. And that purpose should be to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. To hear the word of God. With all that's going on in this world, with all that's going on in this country, we need something stable to stand on. We need something stable to stand on. And we need to understand that the Word of God is stable, and the Word of God will last, and it will stand through anything and everything. Hallelujah. And whatever we are dealing with in our lives, personally, family-wise, whatever, we need to get under the Word of God and then apply that Word to our lives. Stand on that Word in the name of Jesus. We can't be wishy-washy. Because the Word of God tells us in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That means then that you can hear the Word of God and say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe so, maybe not. Maybe, as long as you're feeling good, you know, you're standing on the Word of God. But first time adversity come or you have a challenge, now you're wondering, may I don't know if this works or not. Maybe, you kind of get like John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist in prison is talking about Jesus. Is he the one, or do we look for another? Well, we don't need to have that attitude. We know he's the one. We know that we can stand on his holy word. But you have to hear this word, and you have to apply this word to your life, and you must be determined that I'm going to hear it, I'm going to receive it. And it doesn't matter what direction the wind blows, I'm going to remain stable. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. All righty. Having said that, go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's where we were last week. And then I will pray and we will jump right in for a little bit. Hallelujah. You know, it's evening, so look at somebody and just tell them this. Say it's supper time. Now now some folks don't use the word supper. They say dinner. So if you're a dinner person, just say it's dinner time. Amen. And we're not talking about the physical food either. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much for your word, your everlasting word, words that came from your mouth. That's how we are to live every day. Thank you, Father God. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and have a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. They'll do that, Father. It will change their life forever. We thank you for that. Thank you for the honor of preaching it and teaching it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now back at Deuteronomy chapter 5 is where we were last Wednesday. I want to read this to you again. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. And this is just telling you what I just said. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may do what? That you may what? Let me tell you something. The Word of God brings life spiritually. It brings spiritual life, but also physical life. Hallelujah. A major part of Jesus' ministry was healing the sick. Healing the sick. Healing the sick. Raising the dead. Hallelujah. Let me finish reading this. I'll read 33 again. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be what? Well with you. And that you may do what? Prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? God's given us our land. It's called America. Hallelujah. And God has promised us that if we will live according to His word, that He would be there with us and He will open doors for us. He would cause things to change for us, for His people. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So let me give you my subject once again. Let's stay focused. One of the major tricks or schemes or whatever of the enemy is to get you distracted, right? It's distractions all around. An example, oh, there are many examples, but I'll just throw out one. An example of what we're talking about is Peter walking on the water when Jesus said, come. And that's when things began to just really get out of hand. And it caused Peter to become distracted, didn't it? Didn't it? And what happened when you become distracted? You begin to sink. You begin to lose out. Glory be to God. So we must be determined that we are not going to be distracted from what God has said. So let me move on here. So we talked about last week the fact that it's very important, that we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking unto Him. Looking unto Him. Looking to Him. And then we talked about distractions in Proverbs chapter 4. verse 25 through 27. You don't have to turn there. We were there last week, but again, it tells us not to look to the right hand nor to the left, but to keep our eyes focused on Him. And then I shared with you some things I didn't finish, but I began to share with you some things that causes you to lose your focus. People of God, we got to remain focused. And one of the things that will cause us to lose our focus, we talked about it some last week, is the fact that when we get caught up in the things of the world, when we get too involved in the things of the world, when the things of the world has our attention, you hear what I'm saying? And we are no longer focusing on God the way we should. Amen. And what's going on in the world? You know, this is hurricane season. And of course, we know that we're living in the last days, and Jesus said that these things would be happening. Amen. He said that these things would be happening and probably will increase as time goes along. But see, God always has an answer for His people. Let me read a beautiful verse to you. Well, few verses. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm, the 46th Psalm. In Psalm 46, listen, I mean, you can read along with me. It says, God is our refuge. And you need to make that confession for yourself. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm so glad that when I call on the Lord, He don't say, okay, I hear you, I'm on the way. He don't tell us, I'm on my way, and if I don't get stuck in traffic, I should be there in about an hour. No. Absolutely not. Our God is our refuge and strength, and He's a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. Are you hearing me this evening? He is a very present help in trouble. Say it. Say it again. One more time. Hallelujah. See, when you know that, you won't lose your focus. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. See that? Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we're not to fear. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, hallelujah. There have been earthquakes. And there will continue to be earthquakes, tsunamis, storms, because Jesus said there would be. But the Word of God tells us not to fear, because God is, our God is a very present help in trouble, in times of trouble. Well, do you believe the Word of God or not? I believe God is my present help in time of trouble. And that's the reason we say, there shall no evil befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord are all around us. Matter of fact, it tells us where in Hebrews, be careful, you know, you may be entertaining an angel. Can I tell you something? You may, and that includes me, we may have seen an angel and didn't realize it was an angel. Chris said, sometimes we entertain angels and we're not even aware of it. Amen. Who was it? I'm trying to remember. I think it was Jerry Savelle. And some of you may have heard this because they had their telethon on a little while back, last week maybe, a week before, on Kenneth Copeland, Victory Channel. Anybody watch any of that? Some of you did. He's telling this story about he and his wife traveling, and they was out in the middle of nowhere. But he ran over something in the road, just them on the road, and he ran over something, and come to find out, it knocked a hole in his gas tank. He lost his fuel. And so, and I don't know the whole story, so, but anyway, he wound up at a service station. And I think that he met the guy, this person on the road, and they got him to this service station. And the guy went inside, and this is his story. The guy went inside, raised up the roll door, and he pulled his car in. The guy repaired his fuel tank and then filled him up with gas, and he was on his way. And the guy didn't charge him a cent. And so he made it home, and a little while later, and I'm telling somebody else's story. So, Jerry, if you happen to be watching this, forgive me if I mess it up. It be my head, not my heart. Sometime later, he was going back that way, wherever it was he was going. He wanted to stop back by there and thank this person again because this person didn't charge him. And so when he got there, he was asking some people about the place, and he's looking for the guy, and they told him, says, no, that service station hadn't been operating it for years. That place been closed for years. And he tried to explain to them, I was there, and this guy fixed my car and filled me up with gas. No sir, it didn't happen. This place has been closed for years. I believe he met an angel, don't you? But he didn't realize it was an angel. It happens. I heard the story of a lady overseas, a missionary, and she was home at her house, and some of the folk was coming in with guns, and they were getting ready to take her out. But all of a sudden, they turned and started running away. And so later on, she was asking, inquiring, why did they run away? Well, she met one of the guys, and she asked him, why did you run away? And they said, we saw these tall men standing in front of your house with swords in their hands. I mean, they were tall, and we couldn't mess with them. And so they turned and ran away. Well, they saw angels. Hallelujah. Now, I know I kind of got off on this, but I want to say this. I believe we're living in times when angels are going to manifest themselves even more so because of the time that we are living in. Now, don't go off in left field now trying to look for angels. Please, don't do that. That's not wise. Because you have to understand there are good spirits and there are bad ones. And if you start looking for angels, the devil will oblige. You hear what I'm saying? Amen? Because he does come as a wolf in sheep's clothing. So he will deceive you if he can. Don't go looking for angels. But if they come to you, you praise the Lord. Amen. But isn't it good to know, though, that we probably have seen them and met them and didn't even realize they were angels? But because the Word of God tells us that He is a present help in the time of trouble. And we need to stay focused on that. No matter where you are and what's going on in your life, you need to know that God is right there with you, and you need to keep His word in your mouth. Oh, by the way, let me share this with you. The angels of God are activated by the Word of God. Demon spirits are activated by doubt and unbelief. Y'all still out there? Glory to God. I'm talking about staying focused. Staying focused. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Glory to God. When we lose focus, when we allow ourselves to become distracted, bad things can happen. And Jesus was speaking here, and he was really prophesying, and he was talking about the last days, and we're certainly in the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. Verse 25 of chapter 21, it says, Jesus is teaching here. He says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations. Oh, is that today or not? With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Man, there's a hurricane out there now. What's his name? Sam, I believe they call him Sam. Things happening. But look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Amen. Men's hearts failing them. Some folks having heart attacks. But we're told in Psalm 46 that our God is a present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. Now, when I hear about a storm coming our way, and I hope you do the same thing, I start praying and rebuking that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God's given us authority, hadn't he? I start rebuking that thing, praying against that thing. But there are going to be hurricanes, there are going to be earthquakes, there are going to be tornadoes. They're happening. But God is my refuge and strength, my present help in the time of trouble. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Also, we talked last week about another distraction, and this is a big distraction, and I won't go into it other than just to mention it briefly, but it's called money. It's called money, especially the lack of it. Now, you can have plenty of it and still be distracted, because sometimes you can get so taken with making more money, more money, more money, more money, that you totally forget the things of God and what you should be doing for him. I'm so glad God's word say, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. And what that's telling us is God wants us to prosper. God wants our needs abundantly met. Can I have an amen? Amen. God don't mind you having money. What where the problem comes in is when the money got you. Let me say that again. God does not mind you having money, but he don't want that money to have you. That way, if he speaks to you, you can freely obey him, because your money is not your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Amen. God doesn't get any glory out of poverty. You hear me? If you can't meet your needs, that don't bring glory to God. Sitting up in your house hungry and your children hungry, and I don't know of any person, I've never heard of any person that was living in lack, couldn't pay their bills, couldn't buy food, and they're at home. Lord, I thank you that we don't have any money. Oh, God, I praise you that these little children of mine are hungry. Now, we are supposed to praise God in tribulation, in trouble, but not for trouble. If there's a need or if there's lack in your house, you need to praise God and thank him for meeting that need. Yes. Quote to him Psalm 46, verse 1. God, you are my refuge. You are my present help in time of trouble. Father, I want to thank you that money is coming my way. Help is coming my way. It's coming our way, and we give you glory, honor, and praise for it. Just praise him right in the midst of it, because you know things are going to change. Hallelujah. Y'all still out there? But we don't want, because Jesus said, you know, you can't worship God and mammon. You can't worship God and money. Jesus is Lord. You know, George Washington is on the $1 bill. So Jesus is Lord, not George Washington. Whose picture's on the $100 bill? Somebody tell me. Franklin? Is it Frank? Well, Jesus is Lord, not Franklin. Amen. Is there a $1,000 bill? It is. It's in the reserve. Whose picture on it? Okay. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Amen. It's a blessing to be blessed. It's a blessing to be able to bless others. And here's the thing, too. Listen, if you don't have anything, you can't help someone else. Amen. But we don't want the lack of money or the greed for money to get us distracted from what God wants to do in our life. Amen? And get us distracted from His word. Praise God. And I know I spoke last week concerning we should be willing to work. So somebody say amen. Amen. It's not a sin to have a job. I said it's not a sin to have a job. Amen. Hallelujah. Now if you're retired, don't feel bad about that. You did your time. Glory to God. You did your time. Hallelujah. Or if presently right now you're not able to work, don't get condemned over that. You just believe God for your full, total healing. In the name of Jesus. It all boils down to trust in God, doesn't it? I say this often, and it is true. Turn to Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'll begin reading at verse 24. I just quoted this verse earlier. But Jesus again is teaching here. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Oh, by the way, let me say this to you. We serve God. Money is supposed to serve us. Money is our servant. Verse 25. And this is Jesus teaching us here. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, for that revelation, I want you to make a confession to your neighbor, whoever's closest to you. Tell that person, you are more valuable to God than a bird. Or any other animal. So Jesus said, if God feeds them, how much more will he feed you? Verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Anybody in here want to grow taller? Well, y'all adults, right? Forget it. Y'all be short and satisfied. There you go. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about some folks, but, you know, I happen to like short people. Brother Ronnie do too. Yeah. Amen. Short people are cool. Amen. But you know what? Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, y'all can put your faith out there to grow taller, but I wouldn't recommend it. Just be happy. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, grab a hold of this, folks. Please grab a hold of this. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more? Say much more.
Much more.
Say it again.
Much more.
Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I'm here to tell you, God will open doors for you. That's the reason the word of God is so important. You hear me? That's the reason faith in the word of God is so important. God will touch somebody's heart and they will bring you what you need. Either they'll open the door for where you can get a job and be able to buy what you need. Just remember, we are blessed to be a blessing. And from time to time, the Spirit of God will speak to us and say, go bless. Go bless. Kathy and I, this past Monday, was in a restaurant, and this nice couple was in there. They struck up a conversation with us, and we were talking. We was having lunch, and we were talking, and come to find out, I don't know how old the lady was, but the man was actually 89 years old. And so, nice folks, and we were talking to them. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, just on the inside, pay for their lunch. Pay for their lunch. And so when we got ready to leave, because we were leaving ahead of them, you know, I asked for his ticket. He was holding his ticket in his hand, and he wouldn't give me the ticket. He said, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. I said, but sir, we just want to bless you and your wife. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And so, you know, y'all know my little short wife. She's quick, man. So she got up and she was behind him, gave his wife the thumbs up, like, we got this. And we went on to the cash register and we paid for their lunch. And it blessed them. It blessed them. Now, I'm not saying this trying to make us look good. I'm just making a point. You know what? I am so thankful, glory to God, that we were in a position to pay for their lunch. It would have been terrible. I told my wife when we got back in the car, honey, you know what? I'd have loved to pay for their lunch, but we just didn't have it. I don't have it. You know what? But we were able to pay for their lunch. And we were blessed just to see their faces. You know, they were so grateful to us. I mean, the man could have been a millionaire for all I know. Could have been a billionaire. That wasn't the point. The point was the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to pay for their lunch. Or that could have been, you know, they could have been struggling. We don't know. And we don't need to know. Y'all still with me? I gotta let y'all go. So, verse 30 again, I'm read on through this. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be walking in faith, right? Standing on God's word. And verse 33, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Now don't take that out of context. It does not say, well, Jesus said don't worry about tomorrow, so I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm not going to plan anything, or I'm just haphazard. No. The Bible also teaches the wisdom, don't it? Yes. Amen. Teaches of wisdom. But God wants his people to know that I got you. He's got us. But we got to stay focused on his word, focused on what he has said. You know the best thing to do, I'm closing now. You know the best thing to do when you have a need in your life? Find something that you do have and bless somebody else with it. Amen. Find something that you do have. And let me add this too. Don't forget your tithe. Amen. I've heard people say, I cannot afford to tithe. I'm going to tell you this. The truth is, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Will men give unto your bosom? Has anybody experienced that in your life? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not because we love money. It's because we love God and we're standing on His word. And if you're going to help somebody else, you got to have something to help them with. And that's individually, as a ministry. However, you cannot give what you don't have. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Will you? Amen. Come on, Terry. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. He's going to praise him on his keyboard here in just a little bit. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I pick on Terry a little bit every now and then. He's a good brother. I thank God for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I go, though, I want to extend an invitation to those that are unsaved, that are watching this live stream and you're not born again. Folks, it's important. Matter of fact, if you don't know Jesus, everything else is practically useless. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, if you're not washed in the blood, you don't have a future after death. But in Christ Jesus, you will have life everlasting. Life everlasting. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish." In other words, they would not go to hell, but they would have everlasting life. That's in heaven with him. I want to invite you right now, if you don't know him or if you're not sure that you're born again, to receive Jesus Christ into your heart.